Welcome to the Christian Author Show. From fiction to enlightenment, we offer you all forms of faith-inspired books. So sit back and relax. Here's your host, Don McCauley.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Don Giacobbe, and Don is the author of Memory Walk in the Light, My Christian Yoga Life as a Course in Miracles. Don has lived in a Zen Buddhist community where he learned to practice Zen meditation. He's lived in a yoga community and later was the director of the Aquarian Age Yoga Center in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He served as an instructor of meditation and yoga, teaching college courses, and he specialized in providing yoga teacher training certification courses and leading meditation workshops and retreats. Don, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Now, your book represents kind of an unconventional approach to Christianity. For example, the subtitle is My Christian Yoga Life as a Course in Miracles. What is Christian yoga?
I'll give you a simple and a short answer. Christian yoga is any spiritual path in which Christ is the goal, and yoga disciplines are used as a means toward that goal.
So you also introduced the term miracle yoga in the book. How is that kind of yoga different from Christian yoga?
Well, miracle yoga is one particular kind of Christian yoga. It's a combination of yoga and the spiritual principles of A Course in Miracles. There's five aspects to it. There's miracle bhakti yoga that emphasizes love, and miracle karma yoga focuses on selfless service. Miracle Raja Yoga highlights meditation. And then there's Miracle Jnana Yoga, and that promotes understanding. Now, these four, the love, selfless service, meditation, understanding, all of those four are part of Hindu yoga. But there's a fifth aspect of miracle yoga that's not included as part of traditional Christian yoga, and not part of the Hindu yoga. It's called miracle relationship yoga, and it has to do with fostering personal relationships based on forgiveness as it's presented in the Course in Miracles. Now, what makes these five aspects of miracle yoga unique is that they're a synthesis of Christ, yoga, and the Course in Miracles.
So, some viewers may not be familiar with the non-traditional Christian philosophy of A Course in Miracles. Could you give a specific example of an idea in that philosophy that perhaps some traditional Christians would maybe consider to be controversial?
Sure. I'd like to use an analogy. Most of our listeners are familiar with the Star Trek television episodes, and I'd like to give my version of an episode. In this version, Captain Picard is on the holodeck, and the holodeck starts out as just an empty room, but when the holodeck program starts, it changes into a fantasy world where Captain Picard and others can go there to have adventures. And so Captain Picard in this episode says, start program, the fantasy world appears, and he goes into this fantasy world, he meets visitors there, and he stops and talks to the villagers. And these villagers are very kind to him, he has a good experience, but then something really unexpected happens. What happens is he falls down, hits his head, and he gets amnesia. So when he comes to consciousness, he says, who am I? How did I get here? What's happening? And the villagers say, well, you're a stranger. You just come here, but you're welcome to stay. And because he has amnesia, he says, all right, well, he decides to stay. He gets married, has children, grows up into old age. So all this time, he doesn't know who he is. Finally, at the end of the episode, he wakes up and realizes that he's Captain Picard. So he says, end program. And the whole fantasy world disappears. He's back on the starship. And because time was accelerated on the holodeck, he's back to his normal, healthy, young Captain Picard. Now, I use this example of this episode because it describes somewhat the Course idea of what this world is. According to the Course in Miracles, this world is a dream world. And in this dream world, it's really an illusion that we've created while really we're asleep in heaven and we're dreaming of this world. Now, this might sound like a strange idea to Westerners, but in Eastern philosophy, in Buddhism and in yoga, it's a commonly held idea that the world is an illusion. In yoga philosophy, it's called lila, or divine play, and that implies that God is the author of this divine play. actually, according to the Course, this is actually a collective dream by the sons of God, not by God himself. God is reality, so God can't create fantasy. But some of God's sons are asleep in heaven, dreaming of this world. I call it the collusion illusion. So according to the Course, all human suffering is really dream suffering, dream pain. And we will eventually wake up, just like Captain Picard in the Star Trek episode. The only question is how long it will take for us to wake up. So you can see by this philosophy, this way of looking at things, there is no hell. There's no place for souls to go and suffer in eternity. So getting back to your question, I think most Christians would find these ideas that I just shared to be pretty controversial.
Would you say that that's the central message of the philosophy?
No. To explain the central message of the philosophy, I think I'd like to use a different story. Most people are familiar with the Bible story of the prodigal son. He goes and asks for his inheritance. He gets it, and then he leaves, and he squanders his inheritance on loose living, and he ends up starving. So he decides, I'd like to go back to my father's house and be a servant there, and at least the servants get fed. So while he's on a long way off walking toward his father, the father comes running after him close to see his son, and the son immediately says, I'm not worthy to be your son. I've squandered your treasure, and just let me be a servant in your house. And the father says something really strange. He says, let's celebrate. Let's have a good time. So now that's a pretty strange response for the father. You would think, like according to modern philosophy, he'd use tough love. He might have said, for example, yes, you're a terrible sinner squandering my treasure with loose living, but you know what? I'll forgive you, but I'm going to make you work for this. I'm going to make you work, and you have to pay back every penny of the treasure that you threw away. So the question remains, why wasn't the father upset about the treasure being squandered? Now, the reason is that the son is the father's treasure. That's a direct quote from the Course. The son is the father's treasure. And it expresses how our Heavenly Father feels about us. Now let's go back to your question, the central message of the Course. Well, the central message of the Course is forgiveness, but it's a non-traditional form of forgiveness. Let's compare traditional forgiveness with the Course's forgiveness. Traditional forgiveness, you perceive the one you forgive as an unworthy sinner, and you perceive yourself as bestowing a gift on this sinner that doesn't deserve it. Now, in contrast to that, what the Course calls true forgiveness is quite different. In true forgiveness, you overlook the errors, don't even call them sins, you just overlook the errors of your brothers and sisters. And you perceive everyone as being worthy of love because everyone is a son of God. And so everyone is deserving of forgiveness. So in the Course, true forgiveness is a way of seeing yourself as equal to all of your brothers because you're equals as sons of God, not better than them.
Now, in your book, you describe yourself as a monk in the world. How is your life as a monk different than what we normally think of as a monk?
Well, let's draw a contrast between the monks in India and Western monks. In India, there's a long tradition of renunciates. These are monks that are called sannyasins, and they've renounced the world. Now, many of these seekers don't belong to any organized group that gives them a stamp of approval saying, yes, now you're a monk. Instead, they make their vows directly to God. In the Christian tradition, though, monks are usually part of an organized group, and the group authorizes their monastic vocation. So now I'm like the Eastern renunciates in that in my vocation of a monk, I made my vow of celibacy directly to God without any organized group giving me an authorization to do that. I'm not quite like the renunciates, though, because I haven't renounced the world. I consider myself a monk in the world. And so, for example, I've served for 16 years as a state case manager for development of the disabled clients. And I believe that for me, for at least being a monk, means having a balance between spending time devoted to inner attunement and serving others in the world.
Now, you're sharing your life in the pages of your book, but what would you say is the most important message that you would like to share with your readers?
I can sum that up in two sentences. When my alarm rings in the morning, when I wake up, I turn off the alarm, but the first thing I say are these two sentences. The first sentence is, "Thank you, Father, for loving me." I say that kind of loudly to loosen up the cobwebs from my dreaming mind. And that's, to me, a reminder of my true identity. God loving me gives me my identity. It tells me that I'm an extension of God himself. God has given his love to me and extended himself into me. And the second sentence I say, again loudly, is, "Let your love flow through me to bless all of my brothers and sisters everywhere." Now, that's a reminder to me of my purpose in life, what I want to make meaningful in my life. So those two sentences are my message, and they're both figuratively and literally a wake-up call to wake up to my true nature and to help others wake up to their true nature.
You write about a lot of your personal spiritual experiences in the book. Can you share one of those with us?
Sure. In 1986 it was, I was driving from North Carolina in Seelo to Virginia Beach, Virginia. And on the way, I parked my car at a rest stop in Hickory, North Carolina. Before I had left on this trip, I had made plans to go to a different location. I had made plans to go to a place called New Market, Virginia. And there was a spiritual community there that I was thinking of visiting. And then at the last minute, I changed my mind. So I was thinking I was going to be headed to Virginia Beach. And while I was at this rest stop, a stranger approached me. He said he wanted to go to a place called Front Royal, Virginia. And so I said I didn't know where that was, but I pulled out a map. I found it on the map, and I pointed to it and handed him the map. He looked at it, and then he put his finger, not on Front Royal, he put his finger right on New Market. And I looked at him like, oddly, like, why did you put your finger on New Market? Because that was the place I had planned to go to. And I thought that was pretty strange. I was wondering if the Holy Spirit was prompting him to guide me to go to New Market. And so we talked a few more minutes. I showed him that he had his finger in the wrong place. He really wanted to go here to Front Royal. He said, "Oh, okay." And then we separated. I took no more than 10 steps walking away from him. I happened to glance back, and he had disappeared. He just vanished. I looked in the parking lot, and there wasn't even any cars in the parking lot. And I wondered, how did he even get here if there's no other cars in the parking lot? And then the only place I could think he might have gone was the men's room or the ladies' room. I went into the men's room. He wasn't there. I knocked on the ladies' room, then went inside. He wasn't there. I was dumbfounded. I figured maybe this could have been an angel or messenger. But if it was an angel, then it would mean that there was some really important message. And maybe he was trying to tell me to go to New Market, and there was something really important in New Market. So I changed my plans. I headed north toward New Market instead of towards Virginia Beach. And then when I arrived in New Market, the two people that owned the land and had led the spiritual community told me that the entire community had disbanded. They said, but there was still one person left. And so they took me upstairs to introduce me to this one person. And when I got upstairs, the door opened, and there was Alan Green. Now, Alan Green was a friend of mine from Virginia Beach, and he happens to be a quadriplegic. And there was some unfinished business with him and my relationship with him. I needed to really come to a place of forgiveness in my relationship to him because of some events that had happened. And so this opportunity, me coming there, gave me the chance to form a bond of friendship with him, a deep bond, and to let go of my lack of forgiveness for him. And also you'll see when reading the book that Alan Green is a central figure in my book.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
You can buy it on Amazon.com. It's also available at BarnesandNoble.com.
It's been very enlightening. Our guest today has been Don Giacobbe, and Don is the author of Memory Walk in the Light, My Christian Yoga Life as a Course in Miracles, Don, thanks very much for being with us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of the Christian Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of the Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the author's marketing powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on the Christian Author Show.
Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another great book on the Christian Author Show. To find out more about the show, visit thechristianauthorshow.com.